Hardin frowned. What of that? I don't see that it has anything to do with the argument at all. I started that way at first because the barbarians looked upon our science as a sort of magical sorcery, and it was easiest to get them to accept it on that basis. The priesthood built itself, and if we help it along, we are only following the line of least resistance. It is a minor matter. But these priests are in charge of the power plants. That is not a minor matter. True, but we have trained them. Their knowledge of their tools is purely empirical, and they have a firm belief in the mummery that surrounds them. And if one pierces through the mummery and has the genius to brush aside empiricism, what is to prevent him from learning actual techniques and selling out to the most satisfactory bidder? What price our value to the kingdoms then? Little chance of that, Cermak. You are being superficial. The best men on the planets of the kingdoms are sent here to the Foundation each year and educated into the priesthood. And the best of these remain here as research students. If you think that those who are left, with practically no knowledge of the elementals of science, or worse still, with the distorted knowledge the priests receive, can penetrate at a bound to atomic power, to electronics, to the theory of the hyperwarp, you have a very romantic and very foolish idea of science. It takes lifetimes of training and an excellent brain to get that far. Johann Lee had risen abruptly during the foregoing speech and left the room. He had returned now, and when Hardin finished speaking, he bent to his superior's ear. A whisper was exchanged, and then a leaden cylinder. Then, with one short, hostile look at the deputation, Lee resumed his chair. Hardin turned the cylinder end for end in his hands, watching the deputation through his lashes. And then he opened it with a hard, sudden twist, and only Cermak had the sense not to throw a rapid look at the rolled paper that fell out. "In short, gentlemen," he said, "the government is of the opinion that it knows what it is doing." He read as he spoke. There were the lines of intricate, meaningless code that covered the page and the three penciled words scrawled in one corner that carried the message. He took it in at a glance and tossed it casually into the incinerator shaft. "That," Hardin then said, "ends the interview, I'm afraid. Glad to have met you all. Thank you for coming." He shook hands with each in perfunctory fashion, and they filed out.